You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. We are sitting live in the Progressive Field Media Dining Room, myself and Jordan Bastian. This is a very special podcast. This is an in-person podcast.
It is, and it's fitting that we're sitting at a round table to have this discussion.
It is a round table. It is perfectly round, and it's got some ballpark mustard, so we're good to go.
We're good to go.
So all this noise you hear in the background, this is authentic, the noise we hear when eating substandard ballpark food before a baseball game. Wow. So this is the real deal, folks. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Indians. They are off to a substandard start.
Good segue.
Yeah, you like that? Not hitting the ball very consistently. Pitching pretty well overall. I think you would take some of these pitching performances, right, on the whole. I mean, there's some hiccups, don't get me wrong, but this is, you know, if you told me Trevor Bauer's going to have the month he had, sign up for that. Corey Kluber, of course. They're not supporting these guys, and a lot of that comes down to the top of the order. Michael Bourne gets demoted over the weekend. That was something that you probably saw coming after a while there. But talk about this this lineup. They got some issues going on here, JB.
Yeah, I mean, the front four of that rotation, I think you could pretty much stack it up against any other rotation in the game right now. Obviously, there's been hiccups, but they've been great. They've done their part. And, I mean, when Corey Kluber doesn't have a win yet with what he's done, I think that kind of shows you some of the other issues that have been coming up in April. And you're right. I mean, the Michael Bourne issue, we've talked about it multiple times on previous podcasts and in the spring, too. And we even brought it up before the season started with Francona, the fact that his on-base percentage over his 2 years prior with the Indians was not indicative of what a leadoff hitter should be.
Right.
So we question whether or not he should have been the leadoff hitter going into the year. You know, obviously, his stolen base numbers have been down, but, I mean, you can't steal first base. You got to get on. And I think, you know, Tito, to his credit, you know, made this move, I think, a little faster than we're used to Francona making moves. You know, usually you might take into May or even get towards June, but I think he really saw it became more glaring as a few other hitters in the lineup started to warm up, show signs of life. And all of a sudden, a guy like Michael Bourne and maybe even a guy like Jose Ramirez, you know, they start becoming a little more glaring. I thought it was the right move. You know, obviously, Kipnis isn't hitting the cover off the ball right now, but, you know, he's a guy that can steal bases, is on base percentages a little better, he sees more pitches than Bourne. I think that was the right way to go for now.
Yeah, for now, you tinker with the order of things, but what about personnel? Are we getting close to any personnel tinkering? And I think you know where I'm going with this. We were just talking about this pre-podcast about a young man by the name of Francisco Lindor, who had a nice weekend, off to a pretty decent start at Columbus overall. What do you think of, there's a timetable to things, but is this something that could happen?
I mean, I think we all know Jose Ramirez is not the future at the position. I think he projects to be a utility man. And Lindor kind of is that guy, and we've kind of all accepted that Ramirez is going to keep his seat warm. But now, as this lineup is struggling, and as I mentioned, as some guys are starting to come to life, Ramirez is one of those guys who hasn't shown those signs of life yet. And I've been a little surprised at how he's played in the field. I think we had 2 months of good baseball where he played at a strong level down the stretch last year, and the advanced metrics favored him. But so far, you know, even the things that don't necessarily go down as errors, right, you know, we've seen some decisions that we've had to ask about and things like that. And, you know, Lindor, I think, now is hitting over 300. I mean, sample size alert for everybody at this time of year. I mean, I think he was hitting 190 a week ago,
right? Yeah.
And now he's hitting 300, and now it's a hot start. So, you know, it'll be interesting. But, I mean, they've passed that day where they've secured an extra year of free agency. If they're going to play the business game and try and, you know, drag it to June where you start talking about arbitration situations, you know, that business side of the game that the fans who are watching a substandard team right now don't want to hear about.
Right.
But, I mean, is that the only reason they're keeping him down? Because performance-wise, maturity-wise, leadership-wise, I don't see why he couldn't be in the lineup right now, giving them elite defense and doing at least what Jose Ramirez is doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And, yeah, I mean, Ramirez, the one big selling point was he's supposed to be substantially improvement on the defensive end, and they still had some defensive struggles. Their pitchers have struggled defensively as well. I saw there was a Fangraphs had a really nice breakdown of that, but it really did hammer home that point too. So Not a great start
no.
for the Tribe, and it's amplified all the more by what Detroit and Kansas City, their opponent this week, have done. What is your sense of the clubhouse and the panic level, I guess, overall right now?
Well, David Murphy already used the sense of urgency quote after the game in Detroit. You know, I go back to, and I think I wrote this last night, was at the end of the season last year, Michael Bourne stood in front of his locker and had a great in-depth chat with us for about 15 minutes, you know, just kind of breaking down what went wrong last year and, you know, why their backs were up against the wall. And what he pointed to was that slow April start. And once they got through that, then they played great baseball. But then they finished three games out, just missed a playoff spot. And he said, you know, we need to win early. You got to get off to that hot start. That way, if you do hit issues, you have that that buffer. And I think they obviously did not do that this year. And you could potentially be looking at the same type of situation where, much like they've done in individual games with the Tigers, playing catch-up after being down early, you're looking at a situation where now maybe it's the next 5 months of trying to play catch up because the Tigers and Royals have gotten off to great starts and the Indians have not. And that's, I mean, it's almost mirrored to what happened last year.
They haven't gotten off to great starts in the Terry Francona era. As good as this era has been, and they two winning seasons, they haven't had back to back winning seasons in a long time. He's done that, but slow start. And that was it's kind of the organization history around here. Eric Wedge was always hammered for
it was
a slow
cold
start.
In Cleveland, Anthony.
I guess so, man. I'm off to a slow start. How's your start?
Yeah, you know, I do want to point out, too, I mean, I feel like I've been on the road for all of April. I mean, they've only played five games here at home. They're about to open a homestand. So, I mean, you got to take that into the equation, too. A lot of times you say if a team can play 500 ball on the road and take care of business at home, you know, they'll be in good shape. And maybe that's what ends up happening. But, I mean, it's been a rough start, and I think there's been a lot of factors. Bullpen hasn't been great. Offense has struggled. But again, when you look at that starting rotation, you see that hope that if they can keep doing that, you know, if you could just get just enough offense, you know, maybe they could be there in the end. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, programming note here, MLB.com, voting going on for the franchise 4 through May 8th. You pick the four guys who have most impacted that franchise in
its
history.
Like the Mount Rushmore of
the Mount Rushmore of each team, exactly. And Michael Bourne is not on the Indians' Mount Rushmore to this point.
Right.
To this point. We'll give him time to, you know, get hot here. But I don't think he's going to make the franchise four, I got to be honest. The people want to hear Jordan Bastian's franchise four for the Cleveland Indians.
But I think it's a no-brainer. Your number one there is Bob Feller. He's got the...
Never heard of him, but sounds like a great guy.
the only opening day no-hitter, Hall of Famer, just the persona that he was. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that to this date resonates with Indians fans, and that says a lot about a guy's career and impact he had. Then I got to go Larry Doby. You know, Jackie Robinson gets so much credit for being the first African-American to break into the baseball. Larry Doby was the first into the American League. Kind of goes unheralded every year. You know, I think it's great they're finally putting a statue in, having a Larry Doby Day here. It's going to be great. You know, I hope that his legacy continues to gather steam over time. I'll go Jim Thome. I know there's some fans that still are bitter about some things that happened in his career and decisions that were made in free agency, but he's the franchise leader in home runs, and whether you like it or not, he's got a statue outside Gate C now, too. The fourth one, you know, I kind of weighed this. You got Lou Boudreau, who stands out to me, but I'm going to go with Nap Lajoie. I mean, this franchise at one point was called the Cleveland Naps, you know, after him, a Hall of Famer. You know, I just think that right there, the franchise tie and things like that, I think he's my fourth.
Okay. Good choices. I had Lou Boudreau over Nap Lajoie.
Yeah, I wrestled over that one.
Mainly, I wanted to represent the 48, you know, player-manager in 48 last time. They won a World Series here, so that's a big deal to me. And, yeah, I went with Thome. I don't know. You got to have somebody representing those great 90s teams. Obviously, the Indians used him as the representative with the statue. I wrote about it at the time. I don't blame them for using Thome as the representative. I thought maybe there would have been a way to do it that honored the whole feel with him catching the last out when they clinched. But I have no problem with Jim Thome representing that group.
A lot of fans, I think, would love to see Omar. You know,
Omar, Kenny Lofton, obviously. I guess I go Thome because he was drafted by the Indians, so I think he also represents that wave of players that were homegrown.
Right.
So I go with Thome, and I know there'll be a lot of debate about that, but it's a fun debate.
Hoynsie.
Hoynsie should have a little, he should be in the background, I guess.
Okay, maybe he's covering them, you know?
Yeah.
He covered all of those players we mentioned. I believe.
We could do quite a press box Mount Rushmore.
Oh, man.
In this press box.
Oh, boy.
And you know what? While we're here, I want to hear your review of the media dining experience.
Oh, this is we're going down. This is a slippery slope, man.
Yeah. I mean, take us. This is some inside baseball stuff. We're sitting here, and everybody, I think, maybe can hear them preparing for tonight's meal. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what is the best and worst the press box dining has to offer for you.
Well, they have a Keurig coffee machine now.
That's
which
great.
Is clutch.
Yes.
Although,
I got to say, I still don't know how to use that thing. It always takes me 3 attempts just to get a cup of tea. I always go through 2 cups.
It's really hard. You put the thing in and you push the button.
Yeah, and I always
really
do
difficult.
Something out of order, out of sequence, because
push
I,
the button
I
before
inevitably,
you put the cup
yeah,
in.
inevitably lose 2 cups before I get the real cup. So I'm killing the environment.
Tell you what, I mean, they've been developing this media dining over the last few years. It's finally reaching big league level.
It is.
You know, I think it's ready. They got
much like Francisco Lindor.
They got some good options here. If you don't like the main course, you can make a sandwich, get a burger, and I think that's clutch. I think that's key. You got to have some good backup options.
I have been making fun of the press dining here for a decade now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like
it's your
innate.
Thing.
Yeah, it's my thing. But I will say, yeah, it's definitely gotten better. The chicken salad's pretty good. I kind of like the chicken salad. Make a chicken salad sandwich. That's pretty good.
Lucille, when you see Lucille's face when you walk in,
it just brightens your day.
Yeah, I think that's the best part.
Well, we've hit all the hot topics. All the important information is on this podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in, and thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.